of divine revelation bearing on our suffering. It is today the denial of the need of redemption because of original sin. Once that, as in the past, in the time of Pelagius, Augustine, St. Augustine, saw the difficulty and opposed Pelagius so firmly. He refused to see him on several occasions. Pelagius thought he was being slighted. He was, in a sense, but to correct the same, we can see as we're in the systematic promotion of hedonism, you know, a profanation of genuine charity, of genuine love, that is characteristic of, and is, according to Pope John Paul II, the proximate cause of terror, of violence, of cruelty, where we systematically declass chastity, purity. That means we minimize the importance of Our Lady. That's the ideal for the virgins and for the married, chastity, purity. We shall soon have, as it were, a society which is inhuman. At every level, the highest and most inclusive, but also at the level of simply where two or three are gathered together. Betrayal can happen there as well. Now, to illustrate clearly the connection between A, the establishment of the order of salvation, and B, the application of its benefits, the incorporation of each of us personally into that along the lines that our Lord laid down for the ordinary distribution, the sacramental, or the order of the church hierarchical. St. Bonaventure is the best master. He described it perfectly in his conferences on the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. On conference six, where he's dealing with fortitude and courage, what do you think he talks about? Our Lady, the strong woman of Proverbs 31, so-called the Marian prophecy of Solomon, who assists her husband, who is, as it were, the strength of her man. It's a pivotal passage, but he shows how the three moments of our involve Our Lady, involve, as it were, the price. Who is paying the price? Not gold and silver, but the body and blood of our Savior. First, she prepares the price by way of begetting the Son of God, the Savior. It is she. Without that, there is no price available. It is not the divinity of Christ by itself, but it is the divine person who sacrifices his human life, his body and blood. Secondly, she also offers, second moment. That is the reason that she is at the foot of the cross. That is the reason that she is present in Jerusalem during Holy Week. It corresponds to the first week of creation, which is the last week. Away. And finally, after the sacrifice is completed, she is the one, because she is called, she is the one who possesses the treasure of salvation. Not some passing good of this life, but eternal life. And it is through her hands it is distributed. She is therefore begot, she paid, the Latin is progenuit, persolvit, posseded. Beep, beep, beep. Alliteration to help you remember. You have to know a little Latin for verse. That is enough said there. He doesn't use the term co-redemptrix. It didn't come into common use until at least a century after his death. We recognize the mystery. As a rose by any other name is still a rose. heard that line from English poetry, but it remains true. Co-redemptrix is the best word, but we can recognize the doctor, even as Immaculate Conception is a wonderful title for a lady. It defines exactly what we mean by Panagia, Beatissima, Sanctissima, All Holy Virgin. How could she be all holy if she were tainted in any way, even in the slightest way, for only a single moment? The argument of scholars, but we can look at it the other way. Once we see that point, Panagia, what does it mean to be a holy? It means to have a heart like Our Lady. That is what it means. And that is what stands behind the apparitions and the revelations of Our Lady in Amsterdam at pinpoints, in a way that should be obvious to all of us after the experiences of First World War, Second World War, concentration camps, the lagers, the gulags, they're still going on, one war after another. And even the small ones are incredibly bloody in comparison with the worst of ancient times or medieval times, which I saw those, as it were, who are living in the caves, haven't gotten into the light. The light is a very strange light. Light here. Now, the second approach, this is the doctrinally speaking, if we grasp these points, we'll always be ready to answer, pick up perfectly, we point out, this is the truth. No one can deny it. Then we can take history itself. I'm not going to examine all the points that I have here, but we can note, especially beginning with monotheism and the triumph of Islam in the first millennium, that there was a clear minimalization in Catholic areas of Our Lady, emphasized solely the divinity of Christ, let the humanity disappear, let the human will no longer be a human will. But what happens to Our Lady? What is her role? No role. She is only a symbol. Ultimately, the omission of Our Lady, or reducing her to a mere symbol, leads to a denial of the divinity of Christ. Cardinal Newman pointed this out in terms of the doctrine of Ephesus. To defend the divinity of our Lord, that this man is God, it is necessary to affirm the title Theotokos, a dogmatic. It is not enough simply to go on and write 10,000 books about the divinity. Very simply put, you either say it in one word, or you'll never say it ever. You'll never come to a conclusion. Exactly the position of Immanuel Kant. Speculatively, you never arrive at any certain sure knowledge of God or salvation. Well, that has to be a real leap of faith of pragmatism, the duty, as it is called. Here we want to stress the importance of believing first. Theotokos. Therefore, her child is a son. St. Bonaventure summed it up very beautifully in one of his last lectures, the Collationis in Examen, and pointed out, if a divine person is to be born of a woman, the woman will be a virgin. And if a woman conceives and gives birth without loss of her virginity, she is simultaneously not virgin and then mother, but virgin mother simultaneously, the child is divine. And even in the order of grace, it is adoptive divine filiation that we are. This is the stupendous point, that man has become God, or man has been divinized, that we share, as St. Peter says, in the very life of the divine person, or as St. John, we enjoy the fellowship, the communion of Father and Son, and we can add, for instance, in the Holy Spirit, because that is the fellowship. We express that at the conclusion of every prayer at the Mass, through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, world without end. Amen.